at this point at a new sugya, which is found on the bottom of Daf Chav Ches and Aleph, which is a new Mishnah, and we are now going to be spending some time now, pretty much until the end of the parak, with a number of exceptions, on the topic of Bor. Now, you probably recall from the beginning of the Masechta that we spent a little time discussing Bor. Obviously, the very first Mishnah in Bava Kamma introduces us to the Arvavos Hazikin, and one of them is Bor. So we have a recollection, hopefully, in that regard, of the concept of a Bor. We also saw in Dav Gimel Amud Aleph that in addition to the fact that the Torah speaks of the classic case of Bor, which actually we're going to see inside in a moment, literally a pit in the ground, that the Torah says that a person digs a pit and there's damage that comes about because of that hole which was not subsequently covered. So in addition, the Gemara and Daf Gimel told us that there are toldos of Bor. There are other situations where a person could be chayiv for his making a takala, a hazard in an area where people are otherwise permitted to walk, such as the Gemara's examples are Avnos, Sakino, Maso. He places a stone, he places his a knife, his package, his backpack in the street, and he leaves it unattended, and as a result, someone gets hurt. So these are all included in the subcategory, the toldos of Bor, and there are many, many details which make Bor its own Torah in and of itself within the complicated discussions of Hezek. So tonight we're going to begin on the bottom of Chav Ches Med Aleph for the Mishnah, which is going to introduce us and sort of throw us in to some of the very important issues related to Bor. But before we look at the Mishnah, I told you do need the Gemara tonight. We definitely will get to the Gemara. Before you do so, I'm going to ask you to look first at the sheet. We're going to just take a look at the Pesukim in the Torah, which we've seen a while ago, to reacquaint ourselves, and to take a look at one other sugya before we actually see our Mishnah, because it will enhance our understanding of our sugya that we're going to see. So the first source, which is found on the sheet, is two Pesukim from Parshas Mishpatim, where the Torah tells us, V'chi yiftach ish bor, if a person shall open a pit, meaning it was previously dug, but he uncovered it. Oh, ki yichre ishbor, or if a person actually digs a pit himself, lo yichasenu, and he does not properly cover it after it is dug, v'nafal shama shor chamor, and as a result, an ox or a donkey falls into the pit. So the din is, says the Torah, baal habor yishalem, literally the owner of the bor, and as we're going to see, it doesn't necessarily have to be the owner, but the one who dug the pit, right? This is a situation where even a person is mafkir the bor, he's still going to be chayiv because of the fact that he created this takala and he didn't take the necessary precautions to protect someone from getting hurt. So in this case, baal habor yishalem, the one who dug the pit is going to have to pay kesef yashiv levalov. He's going to pay whatever reparations are necessary. The hames yelo, and the carcass, the dead animal which has fallen into the pit, yielo, will be for him. So we actually discussed in the past the concept of emes yielo, who is the him, and this that's a topic also in and of itself. But in terms of bor, the Torah creates over here a new category of hezek, where on the one hand I'm not personally causing anyone to get hurt, and it's not even technically my mamon, my property, that's causing someone to get hurt, but it's something that I've created, which by nature is considered a hazard, and because of the fact that, once again, I didn't take the precautions after the fact, so I'm now going to be chayiv for the damage that was incurred. Rashi over there, we want to actually read it inside right now. Rashi introduces us over here to something we're going to see in the Gemara, which we saw a long, long time ago, and that is a special drasha the Chazal introduced us to, which basically teaches that the examples that the Torah gave as shor v'chamor are, on the one hand, they're not specific, meaning that Rashi introduced us to a Chazal elsewhere, which teaches that any time the Torah says shor v'chamor, it doesn't mean only shor or only chamor. This means to include all balei chayim, all animals, not people, but all animals. However, the shor v'chamor over here are introducing us to two important exceptions which are introduced through Torah Shabbat Peh. So, what are those two exceptions? So, from the word shor, Chazal teach us shor velo adam, and chamor we learn chamor velo kelim, which means that the Torah's example over here of a shor v'chamor are not specific to these two animals, but they are specific to a specific that doesn't make sense. They're specific to a classification, namely animals. And what the Torah is telling us over here is that I'm going to be chayiv to pay for damages which resulted from an animal getting hurt or killed in a pit, but not for damages which were caused to either a person or to kelim. And although I'm saying it right now as if there are no exceptions to that rule, as we're going to see, there may be exceptions in various situations, but there's this drasha, there's this concept of shor velo adam, chamor velo kelim. One more thing I want to see inside before we take a look at this Mishnah, and that is a Gemara which is found later on in Daf Nun. So I have over here on sources 4, 5, and 6 the Gemara. The reason why I included it on the sheet is only because some use the art scroll, and the art scroll is not going to show that far in the Masechta. So if you want, you're welcome to look later on in the Masechta. If you want, it's right here on the sheet. Source number 4 is a Gemara from Bava Kamma later on in Daf Nun Amud Beis. First, we're going to take a look at the one item in the Mishnah, and the Gemara, we're going to learn it with Rashi. Says the Mishnah, which seems to be nothing more, nothing less than a description of that which we just read in the Pasuk, HaChofer Bar Bershus HaRabim. A person digs a pit in a public area, V'nafal Esocho Shoro Chamor, and an ox or a donkey falls in, Chayev, the one who dug the pit is Chayev to pay for the damages which were caused to the Bala Shor Bala Chamor. So far, so good. Comes along the Gemara and introduces the following interesting machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Amar Rav. Rav says, Bor shechayva lov haTorah, lahav lov lo l'chavata. Rav says a chiddush. We see in the Torah that the Torah says that a person is chayv to pay for the damages which his pit caused. But when you think about it, if an animal falls into a pit, the damage which the animal suffers could be caused by one of two factors. We normally would assume that the primary cause of the damage is the impact that the animal has on the ground, right? If it's a deep pit, and we know, we learn actually, it may have to be at least 10 tefachim. So if the animal falls into this pit, the impact of his falling into the ground, so that's going to be one possible cause of damage. There's another possibility, and that's what's called havla, or hevel, which means what? Like a foul air. Meaning what? If it's a narrow space and the animal falls in, so it may die not as a result of the impact, but as a result of the suffocation that it suffers because it fell into this very narrow space where there was not sufficient airflow. So Rav says a chiddush. He says that the bor that the Torah says you have to pay for, that's lahav lo v'lo l'chavato. The reason why you have to pay is because you've created a pit which is essentially dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Because of the fact that the animal will not be able to breathe there. But you're not responsible to pay for the chavata, for the damage which the animal suffers because of the impact on the ground. Why does he say this? So Alma Kesava, the Gemara says, you see, the Rav holds chavata regarding the impact, the impact that the animal has on the ground, the smacking of the animal on the ground, karka olam hu demazkaleh. Which means literally, karka means the ground, olam of the world, who the maskele is what hurt the animal. Meaning what? That I can only be responsible to pay for something that I caused, I created. What did I create over here? I created a hole in the ground. But I didn't create the dirt or the ground that the animal actually hit. That was karka olam. Ah, you're going to say to yourself, wait a second, isn't the fact that I dug the hole the reason why the animal fell into the pit? Maybe, but what's that called? That's called a grumma. So therefore, Rav says, and we're going to see what the nafkamin is in a minute, because maybe you think, what's the difference? Rav says that the factor that is relevant by bor, which makes me chayv to pay, is not the chavata factor, the impact factor, but rather it's this consideration of havla, the fact that the animal suffocates. Says Rashi in source number 5, and then we'll come back to the Gemara in a moment. Lahavlo mishum da avad le hevel abor velo mishum chavata, because the fact that I made hevel in the bor, I also didn't create the foul air, But what I did is I created once again this narrow space, and the animal falls in, and now because of what I've created, the animal can't breathe. Karka olam, says Rashi, ve'eno shelo, it's not mine. I didn't create this karka. I didn't put something here that the animal herds himself on. Rather, I dug a hole, and I'm responsible for that hole, but I'm not responsible for the ground beneath, which the animal actually has ultimately has an impact with. That's Rav's opinion. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says no. Lahavlo v'kol shekin l'chavato. Shmuel says the reason why you're chayv to pay for the death of this animal is A, because of the fact that the animal suffocated, but kol shekin kavachomer, if the cause of death was the impact. In other words, Shmuel says both of them are enough, or really independent, either one is enough of a reason to make the Baal HaBor chayv. If you're going to say, wait, l'chavato amratar v'lo lahavlo, maybe what? Maybe you're only chayv to pay for the impact and not for the hevel. So says Shmuel, that's not so, because HaTorah he'id al habor, because the Torah says bor stam. The Torah says ish ki yichre bor ki yiftach bor. The Torah doesn't specify va'afilu malis svugin shel temer, which means that even if you had a bor that was theoretically filled with sponges of temer, of wool, meaning it was cushioned, so the animal falls inside and it doesn't break any bones and it doesn't get injured because of the impact, but nevertheless it dies because of the suffocation, you're still going to be chayiv to pay. So says Shmuel, there's no reason to assume that you only chayiv for chavata and not for hevel, because after all the Torah says bor, and bor means to include every type of bor, even if it was a cushioned bor. So Shmuel is saying this idea, essentially what Shmuel is doing is rejecting this notion of Rav that when the animal has an impact upon the ground and that's what causes its death, that is somehow a grumma, that's something which doesn't relate to me. He disagrees with that. And he says you have to pay for the chavata or the havla. My b'nai, what's the difference? After all, both according to Rav and both according to Shmuel, you have to pay. So what's the difference whether it's because of the hevel or the chavata? Ike b'nai, says the Gemara, the nafkamina would be David gova b'rishas harabim. Let's say a person makes an elevation in the rishas harabim. He doesn't make an actual pit in the ground, rather he makes an elevation. And what happens? It's not clear exactly what happens. Rashi has a vague interpretation, but the animal walks up this gova, this elevation, and falls. Whether he falls on the gova, because of the gova, it's not clear. But I make an elevation in the rishas harabim, the animal walks upon it, and as a result gets killed. So the Rav's going to say, a gova lo mechayiv. Rav's going to say, you're not going to be chayiv. The Baal HaGova, or really the Baal HaBor, but in this case it's not a pit, the Baal HaGova, the guy who made this elevation, the Shas Rav, is not going to be chayiv to pay for the death of the animal. Why? Because there's no hevel. There's no suffocation over there. There was air all over the place. With Shmuel, HaGova nami b'chayiv. Shmuel says, you're not limited to what? To a case of bor. But even in the case of a gova, you're going to be chayv. Why? Because of the chavat, because of the fact that because of my elevation, the animal was injured or died because of the impact that it had on the ground because of this gova. Now, I just want to clarify one point which is going to become clear in our sugya, but just in case you're really scratching your head, thinking to yourself, you know, Rav just seems so extreme, just seems so, you know, far out there. So we're going to see that even Rav is going to say you're going to be chayv sometimes for making elevations in the Rishis Rabbim, but it may not be bor. It may be a different chiyuv at times, and as we've learned in the past, it's not merely semantics, whether you call it bor, shor, eish, because each one has its own set of halachos, and therefore it's important to know why is chayv. So Rav is saying over here, when you talk about bor, Rav says bor means a pit, and specifically lahavlo. But no, not lechavato. We'll take a look at a couple more Rashi's in source number 5 on this Gemara that we just saw, and then I'll take your questions. Shmuel says lahavlo chayv Torah. The reason why chayv, says Shmuel, is because of the hevel, because of the suffocation factor. Kidka aminon, as you said, Rav. Vavagapta hayavlo memelo asile. And even though it's true that this suffocation just comes memelo, meaning I didn't put it there, it just happens automatically. The kol shekein lechavata, and certainly for the impact, the ihu avad lechavata, because I'm the one who caused that chavata, meaning I'm the one who I dug the bor, and that's ultimately what caused this impact. If you're going to say dafka lechavato, lo lavlo, you should only be chay for the impact and not for the supplication. The hamemelahu v'iu lo avdi, because after all, I didn't do anything. The hevel just got there on its own. So comes along the Gemara, says no, because haTorah ida labor, the chsiv bor stam. The Torah says plain bor, doesn't offer any qualifications, any limitations, and therefore vafilu mali svugin shal temer, even if it's cushioned, the leka chavato, where there is no chavato. And finally, the Gemara says, "Ma'ale nayu." What's really the difference? Michde, heichad the mace bow in a situation where the animal dies in the pit. Bein the Rav, bein the Shmuel chayiv. Both according to the Rav and the Shmuel is going to be chayiv. Vafilu nivkas kreso o nishbura mafrakto. And even in a situation where the animal's stomach is split or it breaks its neck, the chayiv nami Rav. Even Rav is going to say you're going to be chayiv over there. The ikal neimar havle nami katalte. Because Rav would say that perhaps it was also the suffocation that killed him. And even in a situation where the animal breaks its leg and it can't get out of the pit, and therefore it can't maneuver its way out and it dies because of that. So you could say that the reason why it ultimately couldn't maneuver its way out is because of the suffocation. So mali yitayim d'chayiv mishum chavata, mali mishum hevel. What's the difference? Both according to Rav and Shmuel, when the animal falls into the pit and it's dead, Rav and Shmuel both can agree that you're going to be chayiv. So what's the nafkamina? So the nafkamina says the Gemara is the Ovid Gova. When you make a tel, an elevation, a little hill, that's Gova Asara, that's at least 10 tefachim higher, Rosh Hashanah, v'olah sham shor, the shor sends that tel, v'nafal, and it falls. Again, it's not clear from Rashi if it fell on the elevation, off of it. The hachaleka havla. There's clearly no havla over there. Elochavat. All there is the fact that the animal fell. So here, Rav would say yipater mitambor, and Shmuel would say this is still within the category of bor. And finally, I have to read inside, but Tosfos over there points out that the other, perhaps even more obvious nafkaminas that one could have said. He says you could talk about a very wide pit. In a very wide pit, there's chavata, but there's no havla, because there's a lot of air that's able to move around that area. Or, he says, a situation where the animal falls backwards. The animal falls on its back, so there's the chavata, but there's no havla, because it's able to breathe. It's not face down in the pit. So there are other nafkaminas that perhaps could be introduced, but the Gemara gives over here the situation of a gova, where it makes an elevation. Tosfos doesn't mean to reject in any way the Gemara's answer, just saying that there perhaps are other possibilities as well. So, as you're going to see in a moment, it's important that we saw this Gemara before we learn our Gemara. It's going to make it easier to learn our sugya. But once again, just to review, we saw Machlokas Rav and Shmuel as to what the reason is, what is the basis for the chiyuv, the liability that the Torah places upon the Baal HaBor. Is it the Chavata or is it the Havla? Rav says it's the hevel, it's the suffocation that the animal suffers, which ultimately causes its death, that the Torah deems you responsible for. And Shmuel says no. Shmuel says it's the havla, and it's also the chavata. It's either one. So even in a situation where you have an animal that gets killed clearly when there is no havla, because let's say there's a tel and there's just a rabbi, or Tosfos says other cases, you're still going to be chayv to pay. Okay? So far so good. Hand was almost up. Yeah? Why, right, so if we say the chavata, the question of chavata is grama, so it should also be grama. So first of all, I jump to grama because I'm a little biased because of the sugya that we're going to see right now, but clearly Rashi is going to identify the concept of the chavata as a grama. But looking closely at the sugya here, it seems that the word grama was not mentioned here. I know I said it, but rather what the Gemara says is chavata karka olam hu demaskile. So what does Rashi say over there? It doesn't belong to anyone, which may mean it may be a different factor. In other words, what Rav is saying is the pit, so to speak, belongs to me. What does it mean it belongs to me? I created the pit, and therefore, even if I declared it ownerless, it's still mine. The Torah is making it mine because of the fact that I created it. But the ground, so that's karka olam. So you can't make me I mean, it's hard to understand this way. It's easier to understand as a grammar. I'm having a hard time even explaining this as I'm trying to say it. So now the Gemara actually goes on, and I cut it off because I didn't want to spend all day on Daf Nun Amud Beis. But the Gemara goes on to say, you know, what's the source? One second, the Gemara goes on to say, what's the source for Rav? And the Gemara bases on a pasuk. So, you know, even Rav tries to, you know, the Gemara tries to offer some explanation for it. Ultimately, has his understanding of the pasuk, which leads to this idea. But let's see in a moment, because it's clearly the concept of grama and chavata comes through in our sugya, whether or not it makes more sense, and then we'll come back to here and see if, in fact, that's what the Gemara is saying, or maybe it's saying something else. Yeah. Right.
So he's guilty, regardless whether it's a dog or shmur or.
Well, no, so as I said before, there are situations where perhaps even Rav will agree that he's guilty, but the question is that bor or is it something else?
Do we care?
Yes, because there are certain exemptions, let's say, that apply by bor, which don't apply by others. There's a din that by bor you only chay for the animal, not for an adam and not for kalim. So what happens if there's a tail and there's just a rav and someone gets hurt, a person gets hurt? So it's definitely a relevant question. Lahalacha, we don't pass them like Rav anyhow. I mean, not to say anyhow. Just the bottom line is lahalacha, we pass them like Shmuel, that it's lahavlo or lachavato. And as I said, there certainly are going to be nafkaminis, which you're going to see. So getting back to our mission now, we're really looking at our mission for the first time. And the chalchetzim and aleph. So the mission on the bottom of the page introduces us to a less typical case of bor, but it really will appear to be a continuation of the Mishnah, of the story, so to speak, which we started in the beginning of our parak. You remember, in the beginning of the parak, we talked about a person who left a pitcher in the Shisa Rabim, somebody comes along and trips on it, as you recall. So here, the Mishnah discusses a similar situation. Nishbara Kadabur Shisa Rabim. Let's say I have a pitcher of water, and it breaks in the Shisa Rabim. It doesn't say I broke it, but it breaks. And then, Behuchlak Echad B'mayim, someone else comes along, I didn't clean up the water, or I didn't do a good job telling people to watch where they're going. Somebody else comes along and trips on the water. Oh, shaloka b'charsis, where someone else gets injured because of the fact that he ends up stepping or falling on the shard of the shrapnel. I don't know the broken pieces of pottery. So over here, there was a person who, again, he didn't intentionally dig a pit in Rishus Rabim. But he had a bucket, he had a pitcher, the pitcher broke. Again, he didn't take the necessary precautions after the fact, and as a result, someone slipped on the water, or someone becomes injured on the pottery. So the din says the mission is chayif. It's chayif to pay for the damages that this person suffered. Rabbi Yehuda says, the miskaven chayif, the ain't a miskaven pot. Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends whether or not his kavana was actually to break it or not. If his kavana was to break it, so then he is chayif. If not, he's got to be potter. Tonight we're not going to talk about Rabbi Yehuda. That's going to come later. We're going to talk first about the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, the Rabbanan. And I'll mention as well that there are so many different factors that play into the psak of this Mishnah, it would be impossible to consider all of them in one night. So, although we're going to do as much as we can tonight, there are still other points which we're not even going to touch upon which may factor into the overall picture. So for example, a question which we're not discussed tonight is the guy who fell, what was he doing? Was he looking where he's going? Was he not looking where he's going? When a person trips, is that considered a pshia or not? So that's a very important question which may pop into your minds. You may be thinking already, that's something we're not even going to see tonight. We're going to be focusing a little more on the Nishbarakadu guy, the guy who left the water in the street. I'm sorry? Yes. Correct. This is Rishus Rav. So Amar Rav Yehuda Marav.
And we know this isn't bor. We know this isn't considered anything to do with bor.
No, we're
because we just learned that a person is excluded from bor, and now you're talking about someone being chayav. Right?
So let's see. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Yehuda Marav says the following: Lo shanu el. Oh, by the way, notice it's Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. That's very important, and now you'll see why I wanted to see that Gemara first. Now, you have to imagine, Rav who holds, we saw already, we know the Rav holds about bor. He says that the bor that the Torah holds you responsible for is only what? Lahavlo. So Rav comes along and he sees this Mishnah and he is going to have to explain it. Right? Rav has to explain this Mishnah. So comes along Rav and he says the following: Lo shanu elo shetinfu kelo b'mayim. What happened over here? We're not talking about a situation where a person fell, and as we perhaps we would have assumed, because that's what it sounds like, even though it didn't say it, a person falls and he breaks his arm on the ground. No, or even if he did, that's not what we mean. When the Mishnah says chayiv, it's talking about a person shetinfu kelo b'mayim. It's talking about a person whose clothing become dirty because of the water. It's obviously dirty water, it's muddy on the ground because of the water. And now, brand new suit, I have to send it to the dry cleaners. Avalhu atzmo pater. But if the person himself becomes injured, so then the person who broke the pitcher on the ground is going to be pater. Why? So he explains, karka olam hazikaso. Karka olam hazikaso. What ultimately damaged him? It wasn't my water. It was what? Karka olam. Says Rashi, ein lo bailam. There is no owner. I'm not the owner of that. I didn't put the ground there. The ground was there beforehand. All I did was what? Put the water there. So Rav, again, already we see already Lishitase is troubled by this. After all, Karka Olam has nothing to do with me. So what does it mean when it says in the Mishnah Chayev? So Rav says that means his clothes which got dirty. Tinful Kalev. That's what it means. Oh, and I want you to see Rashi Dibamatzal Hazikaso Israel. Now you see where I didn't make this up. So now I didn't think it through enough beforehand. We'll see if it applies back to Daf Nun. It says Rashi Hazikaso Umimono Shozeh Grama Bialma Avadlei. My what? Are you going to tell me? But it's fine. The ground was Karka Olam. But wait a second. Didn't my water cause you to what? To fall?
Maybe not.
1 second. Didn't my water cause you to fall? What do you mean maybe not? Fine. So let's assume the ground was dry. Let's assume everything else works. In other words, the guy was looking where he was going. He wasn't a poshea. It was dark outside. Whatever we need.
Who asked him to go there?
I'm just asking you for the purpose of reading this Rashi. All I'm asking is we there's no way we'll be able to move on otherwise. And it's not that I'm trying to hold this back. I'm sorry. It's not that I'm trying to rush ahead. Let's try to keep all the complications out for the moment. And then we'll introduce them later. Let's assume for a moment, once again, however you'll be happier understanding from this end, that it was dry outside and he did have a right to be there, etc. The bottom line is, Rashi's asking a question, how could you say Karka Olam? After all, my water caused him to trip. So it says Rashi, even though it's true, but Mamono Shazeg Grama Biyama Avidlay. All my property did was caused you to fall, but it's not the water that hurt you, it was the ground, and that's called the grama. V'rav l'taymei, and Rav is l'shitase, the amar l'kamon, because he says later on, and we saw this gemara already, that bor shechayv alav Torah l'hav lav lo l'chavata. And when the Torah says chayv to pay for damages caused by your bor, that's talking about a what? That's talking about l'hav lo lo l'chavata. So, it seems to me the way Rashi uses the word grum over here, it would apply equally back there, even though I hesitated a moment ago. So let's go back now. Now you asked, what's the difference between Hevel and Chavata? Isn't Hevel also grum? Does anybody want to say why Hevel is not grum? I guess that's not grum. That's the pit. I mean, that is what the pit is. The pit is a narrow space. The animal falls in. You can't say that the suffocation of the animal is grum. It's not a grumma. No, I created a hole.
I think it would be less than grumma because suffocation is something that is going to, doesn't happen instantaneously. It's going to happen maybe in an hour, maybe in 2 hours, maybe in 5 hours.
No, but why is it dangerous to make a pit in the ground? Why is that considered a hazard? It's hazardous because there are animals walking the street and an animal could easily fall into that hole, and so what? So what? Well, if the animal falls into a hole and it's a narrow space, right? Tosfos already says of a wide space, even Rav will agree, that's not going to be a problem. If it's a narrow space, so you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what's going to happen. The animal's going to suffocate. It's a grumma, so maybe that's not a grumma. In other words, I created the hole, and the hole, that narrow hole, is ultimately what's caused the suffocation of the animal. Masha'ein Cain, the question of impact, so that may really be a grumma because of this idea of karka olam. He says, it's not mine. It's not my karka. I made a hole in the ground, but the hole's not what killed you. It was the impact. So says Rav, again, you know, Pascha Mike Rav says, Rav, that's not, that is a grumma. Again, and Rav doesn't want to use the word grumma over here, so I didn't make it up. Yeah.
The question is it his obligation to clean up
it certainly seemed that way.
Or not on, on purpose. If it is on purpose, it's maybe something different also. But even so, we started before that he did it, if he did it, what,
right.
what are the consequences?
However you understand the details of the mission, or the impression you get clearly from the word chayiv, is that yes, it is one's responsibility to clean up his own mess.
Okay, well then there's no question about it. And number two, then my question is why he's obligated to pay chayav for his soil, the clothes.
Right.
But he himself at small patur. Why? If the person
got hurt.
Because
the water is not what hurt him. What hurt him is the fact that he fell on the ground, and that Rav says is karka olam.
So what's the difference between his clothes, his property, or his?
No, the difference at this point is not him versus his clothes. The difference is what caused the damage. I can only be responsible for my property, which I didn't wash properly, right? So Rav's saying my property, my water, because of the fact that I left it exposed and it was not cleaned up. So my water caused you damage. How could water cause a person damage? So Rav says tinful kalah. It soiled his clothing. But if you're going to tell me he got tripped and fell on the ground, so Rav Lashitase, again, I'm not trying to convince you that Rav is correct, not correct, I'm just Rav Lashitase, who says that the bore that the Torah says you're liable to pay for is Lahavlo, Lo Lachavas. That's Rav Lashitase over here as well. That's Gurama Biala. That's Rav. And again, this is Rav who's saying this. We're going to see in a moment. Shmuel's going to disagree again. Yeah? You're saying that the water was clean, and the dirty water is only because of the dirt that was mixed in with dirt, and that wasn't my dirt.
Or even if you
right.
slipped past the pile and you ended up slipping on dry ground and you got dirty from the dirt on the ground.
Well, I guess that would be something else.
So
that would also be a grumma. No, that would also be a grumma. You're right. In that case, you wouldn't be able to say this, Lachori. You would also say that's a grumma. If a guy trips on the water and catches his fall, and ultimately five feet from there, he loses his balance and he falls.
Mm-hmm.
So it's clearly the water's triggered the fall,
right.
But he doesn't fall in the water. So it would seem the rabbi would also say that's also the person left the water there
mm-hmm.
is not chayiv. I will say one other thing, just make people feel a little better. This concept we actually haven't really delved yet as a concept of shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim, but I will tell you one other thing which not going to see inside tonight, perhaps never, but just to throw it out there, and that is an idea that a number of the Achronim speak about, and that is that, and we've seen this before, that not every time when we say that the Baal Ha, when we say the Mazik is Pater, doesn't mean that he has no liability at all. It just means that the human courts will not force him to pay, but there are times that he's still Chai B'dinei Shemayim. And there are those that say that when it comes to Ibor v'Shus HaRabim, even though we have this exemption, which we haven't seen the parameters of it yet, we have this idea of Shor V'Lo Adam, Chamor V'Lo Kelim, that exemption may only be B'dinei Adam, but not B'dinei Shemayim. So when it comes to, let's say, Shein V'Regel v'Shus HaRabim, we learned beforehand that if my animal is walking v'Shus HaRabim and he takes a bite of from some food that's left there, I'm not chayiv to pay because they have to roll. That's the exemption that the Torah allows for Shor V'Regel v'Shus Shein V'Regel v'Shus HaRabim. That means I have no obligation, even klapei shemayim. Even if I want to do what's right, so comes Erev Yom Kippur and I want to right all my wrongs, I don't have to be concerned about that. The Torah exempts me. Over here, it may be a different type of exemption. It may be the type of thing you don't have to pay for, but still, b'dinei shemayim, a person has a, we'll call it, let's say, a moral obligation to pay for these secondary damages may have been caused. As we've learned by Grumma, we learned that by Grumma always. We've said that before. No, you wouldn't see it here.
Case, no.
No. Well, again, how do we know that? So I'm telling you, I mean, the concept, for example, that a grumma, you still have to pay b'dinei shemayim. So that's not the type of thing that you're going to find in most of the sugyas that talk about grumma. But it's a fact. It's something we hold to be true. So I say that only to sort of, to console some who find this disturbing. You know, that a person can act in a way where he causes damage, but he's off the hook. So again, sometimes a person may be off the hook, b'dinei adam, but he still, you know, holds a certain amount of liability and responsibility. So
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand. understand why you're going through a whole thing here in terms of saying karka olamu when you have the exemption of shor.
Oh, so so it's right here. It's right here. So what the Gemara asks? Kiamise kemei Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda taught had this din that he said in Rav's name. Rabbi Yehuda was first a Talmud of Rav, and then later, I think, when Rav died, he became a Talmud of Shmuel. So Kamisa Kamei de Shmuel Amrli. So he said the following. Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda regarding Rav's Pesach, Michte. He says, Avno v'sakinu maso mi boro l'madu. When a person leaves something in the street, such as an evan, a rock, a sakin, a knife, a maso package, or, in this case, what's our case over here, water, these are all what? Subcategories of what? Bor. V'kulon ani karoi behen, and regarding all of these, not only bor, regarding evan, sakin, masa, and water, we apply the pasuk that says shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim. So he says, what is Rav saying over here? That lo shonu elo shetinfu kelim b'mayim, his clothes got dirty. Wait a second. If we're talking about a bor, so then there's an exemption for all kelim and altogether. So that would seem to be an absolute rejection of Rav's understanding of the Gemara. And then the Gemara goes on to further qualify this rule, just to throw another wrench in here. V'hani milu in katala. When is it true? When is it so that there is this exemption of shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim? That is when a person dies. Avala inyan nezek, adam chayav v'kelim patur. When a person gets damaged, so then when a person gets injured, we'll say, so then the balabor is going to be chayav and there will still be a patur of kelim. Before we look at Rashi, I'll explain this outside because it's really pretty simple, and I'll explain it outside. As you recall, maybe you don't recall, the pasuk that we just saw says v'hamesi elo. So the Torah describes over here specifically a situation of what? Of death, the death of an animal. The death of an animal is different, obviously, than the death of a human being. How so? Because when an animal dies, when all is said and done, that's considered damage. Right? When a human being dies, that's considered something much greater than damage. You have questions of kofar, other possible liabilities on a monetary level and on a much greater level as well. So what the Gemara introduces over here is that you should know that the entire patur of shor v'lo adam only applies when a person dies. In other words, when it comes to death, so you're only the balabor is only chayiv to pay. The balabor is only chayiv to pay for an animal that dies, or for what? Or for a person that gets injured. But a person that dies, so what would the payment be? What's the payment you pay when a person dies? We've seen that before. Kofar. There's no payment of kofar when it comes to bor. Right? We learned before when it comes to shor mua, there's a concept of kofar. If I have an animal, I didn't watch it properly, it was a shor. Okay, so there's times there's kofar. When it comes to bor, if I dig a hole in the middle of the street and a person falls in and dies, no question I have what to answer for it. There's no question what I did was awful and horrible. How am I going to live with myself? It's all true. But the bottom line is, there's no kofar in that case. There's no payment of kofar. And there's certainly no damages. We don't pay damages for a human being who dies. There's no concept of nezek when a person dies. So you have nezek when an animal dies. You have nezek when a person gets hurt. And what about kelim? So here there's a unique idea over here. That the exemption of kelim applies across the board. But the Gemara, the Chazal of expression that they use, when it comes to kelim, so whenever kelim gets damaged, so zohi misasa. It's considered like, it's a funny expression, it's kind of like the death of the kelim. It's like the utensil is now dead. Maybe you could fix it, but that restoration is like v'chiyas hameisim. It died, and now you bring it back to life. So the conceptually, we understand when a kelim is destroyed, so when a keli is broken, so it's like it died. So essentially, the p'tur of shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim. And again, a lot of this is new. You can rest assured that unless you drop out of the shiur next week or so, that in a few weeks, this is just going to be second nature, these concepts. But shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim only means if the person is killed. If a person is killed in a pit, so then there's a p'tur. If a person, however, is injured, so then the balabor will be chayiv, just as it was chayiv to pay for the death of an animal, But when it comes to kelim, when it comes to vessels or any utensils or anything which is not a living being, so when it comes to kelim, so there's always a patur by bor. So Shmuel is bothered by Rav's explanation of the Mishnah because it doesn't make sense. Again, what did Rav say? That the Mishnah is talking about a case where a person trips on the water and he soils his clothing. Clothing or kelim. So the water over here you're treating as a bor. If you're treating as a bor, from here we learn. So what is Rav going to answer? So Rav now says the following. Yeah, sure.
So if I dig a bore and I don't cover it, and a person comes through, falls in and dies, I'm patur
from having to pay. Doesn't mean one.
Patur from everything. I'd say maybe some iron.
Definitely, not maybe. I would say definitely. If a person makes a kola, again, depends, as you said before, where he made it, and was it in a place where a person should have seen where he's going, etc. But if a person creates a hazard which leads to the death of another human being, so then there's no question that that person holds a very serious liability. But in terms of payment, there is no payment of kofar in that case.
Does it go to jail?
Does it go to jail? So if the person is considered,
if you do it in Tina, he's certainly you will be responsible.
Right. So if it was considered Ritzich of a Shogeg, and I don't know what the circumstances are, if it was probably not in that case, that's not considered. But it would. Right. No. So again, so if the person is considered a danger or menace to society, and there's a concern that he will repeat his act.
First time, you're not God.
Right. So I don't know that necessarily we put him in jail.
That's reflecting back on the Tanakama.
On the Mishnah, right. On the Tanakama.
Not on
maybe Rabbi Yehuda as well. I mean the Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama are talking about the same case. Different psak, but the same case. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rav says, that Loshanu, that which we learn in the Mishnah, that is chayiv, according to Tanakam is chayiv in either way, and according to Yehuda is chayiv if he's miskaven, that's talking about what the kelim are ruined. So again, Shmuel says, I don't understand that, because if the kelim are ruined, he should be potter anyway, because chamor velo kelim. Rav says, no. Rav says, the exemption of chamor velo kelim, hanimili hecha da afkirinu. This is talking about a case where a person what? He puts something in the street and he's mafkir it. He declares it ownerless. That's a bor. Says Rav, don't get confused over here, says Rav. Not everything that's left in the middle of the street is considered a bor. What's the classic case of bor? I dig a hole in the street and I walk away. I have no intention of ever coming back there. In other words, I claim no ownership over this. It's literally hafkir. Ah, that's a bor, and that's where there's a special exemption of shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim. But in a situation where I intend to maintain ownership over this, mamonahu, that's my property. It's my property. So what is that? What do you mean it's my property? It's my property. I leave my property, and there's just so which of the other mezikin is called my property? It's not other mamazik. It's not eish, and it's not bor. So what's left? Sure, that's the whole chiddush of shor. Karen shein regel means my property that causes damage, I'm responsible to pay. So over here, so Rav says, I'll explain my position. My position is that, you're right, this is not bor. This is shor, or specifically, we don't know yet what type of shor it is. And I don't want to confuse people more, because we're talking about there are two shvarim in the story, right? There's the shor that gets hurt, and there's the category of shor. So I'm not looking to make things even more complicated. So we'll just call it mama, which is what the Gemara calls it. But Rav says, no, I'll admit, says Rav, that there are times that a person would be chayiv to pay, and now, by the way, this opens up the whole. No. So Rav is still going to stick to his guns, and he's going to say regarding chavata, it's still nothing to talk about because that's still a grama. So even though Rav says this is my money that caused the damage, but even so, Rav's still going to say that when the guy falls on the water and he hits his nose to the ground, that's karka olam. That's nothing to do with me. But in terms of the water, So if the water causes damage, so then I'm chayv to pay. I, Shmuel says, why should you be chayv to pay? After all, shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim. That exemption of chamor v'lo kelim is only by bor. Says Rav, this is not bor, this is mamono. Why is it mamono? Because I was not mafkiri. So Rav will say that in a situation where a person is mafkir his property in the shis ravim, so that's called bor, and that's where the exemptions of bor kick in, namely, again, shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim. But once you're talking about mamono, so then you don't have that exemption. Which gets back to the question you asked originally, who cares? You know, boy, so the answer is we see now that it is very relevant to know what the reason for this liability is, because there are certain exemptions that will apply by certain of the Nezikin and not by others. Yeah. How could the water not give? You know, one person in the right mind tends to actually reclaim the water.
How are they going to reclaim the water? It's spilled on the ground. And I'm not talking, and I realize that in we're dealing with societies where water was rare.
Right, but even so.
How could you collect the water once it's poured on the ground?
So, okay, so.